Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. We're a church family in North Carolina with a vision for people to experience the grace of Jesus, be filled with the Father's love, and to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's message from Wilmington.
So last couple weeks that I've been talking about the part of our vision statement that talks about being activated into our vision and our being activated into our callings, specifically into our calling. And I talked about our micro callings, like those everyday little things that we're called to do. And I talked about our macro calling, maybe that big thing that God has created you to do. And last time we talked about Joshua, if you remember, if you were here, and we talked about Joshua and how in his life, he spent these years preparing to step into his calling. Right. And we talked about how he like ran to the presence of the Lord during that time. He hid. He lingered in the presence of the Lord. And that was preparing him for his calling. Right. He mentored under. He served Moses. He served somebody else's vision. Right. I think that's important as we talk about that and recap. We talked about how he had to wait and he let that waiting period. Right. He was ready to go into the promised land right now. Him and Caleb were like, let's go. And then the Israelites disobeyed the Lord, and then they were in the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But Joshua really let that 40 years serve him, right? You know what I'm saying? He let the waiting work for him. And then ultimately, as he was getting ready to step into his calling, the Lord told him to be strong and courageous. And the Lord said that he was going with him. And then he walks in. And one of the things I love about Joshua's story, if you fast forward to the end of it, at the very end, it says that I think I have it written down here how it's worded. He sent all the people away to their own homelands. Because remember, they had walked through a lot of land that people had inherited. Fought through. They fought through all this land. And they went and took the entire land that the Lord had provided them. And then Joshua, when all that was done, sent everybody back to their homelands. And at 110 years old, he died and he was buried in his land of inheritance. And I think about Joshua as somebody who finished well. Like he didn't always just spend time preparing, but he also finished well. Like that was his calling. His calling was to take the promised land and to put people into their inheritance. And that, like the summary of Joshua at the end, it says exactly that. He sent people away to their homeland and was buried in his own land of inheritance. I just think that's great. Today, I'm not going to talk about that at all, actually. Yeah. Today, I'm going to talk about not finishing well, but continuing well. You know, we talk about starting well and the stuff that Joshua did to prepare, but like the continuing well. And I think that's a really important part of us walking out our calling. You know, our micro callings or our macro callings, like that continuing well. And I want to encourage us today, as we continue well, there's a few things I want to focus on. To not give up, like to not get tired, to not give up, to rely on the mercy of the Lord as we're walking out our callings, to be confident in what Jesus did and who he is, and then to set our eyes on the prize, like there is a prize, right? So those are the things I'm going to talk through. In my life, I think as I've shared some of my story, the reality is we're all walking out our calling every day, right? Whether we're walking out our micro callings or our macro callings. In this last season, Mary and I are stepping into this life as pastors, there's been a shift for us in terms of walking out our callings. And I relate it too, though, to just as I was walking out my calling in my day job, like walking out the thing that the Lord had in front of me for that season that I was in. And I don't know about you guys, but I have found in my life that that's not always like bubblegum and raindrops, like, or rainbows. Like it's often raindrops. It is often raindrops, right? It's not always like really, really pleasant. You know, it's not always easy. I find myself in times of life like being discouraged. Even after I got a word from the Lord, I know this is the Lord. And then I get ready to step out into it and I'm discouraged. I'm discouraged in myself. Maybe I'm discouraged because of other things that other people say. I find myself getting to these places where I'm like, was that even the Lord? Is this even the Lord? I don't know. Maybe you guys can't relate. Yeah. Challenges that we run into, right? We face some things head on, and maybe they're harder than we thought they were going to be. And now we hit some challenges. Okay. That's not easy. It's not easy when we hit those challenges. I think about in my life times where I've been like fearful, you know, stepping into times where I feel like I'm afraid. I'm afraid sometimes of what I don't know. I'm afraid sometimes of failure. Like maybe I'm not going to be good enough. Maybe I'm not going to make everybody in the world happy. That's a big one for me. Like every single person in the world, apparently, like I feel the pressure in myself to do that. Like maybe I'm not going to make everybody happy. Maybe I'm not going to be good enough. Maybe this isn't going to turn out how I thought it was going to be. I tell a story sometimes recently about stepping in, saying yes to the Lord to be a pastor. And I was afraid that this was going to die like the other dreams that I had hoped for had died. You know, if you've ever been in that season of your life where you thought something was going to turn out the way that you thought it was going to turn out and it didn't. And then you got to like re-up and say yes to the Lord again. And you're like, but God, that was hurtful last time. That didn't turn out like I thought it was going to turn out. And now I'm kind of afraid of stepping into that and like being vulnerable again. You know, I think about things as we're walking out our callings, like distractions. Like how easy is it to just get tied up with the things that are busy. Oh my gosh. I wish somebody would slap me every time I said I was like tired or busy. Like, well then stop being busy. I'm trying to figure this out in my life. How do I stop being so busy? It's like, I need to do a better job of making space, you know, making space for the Lord and making space just for my body physically and mentally and emotionally. Right? But we get busy. And sometimes the busy is good stuff, y'all. I mean, we could do good things all day, every day. And it could be great things, but sometimes, do you know, those things can be distractions. And they can fill up our time. Or things like comparison. I'm comparing myself to other people as I walk out my calling and comparing to how they're walking out their calling. And guess what? Your calling doesn't look like somebody else's calling. But how often do we walk, like we compare ourselves to how other people are doing it? And that's a trap. That is a trap. Even like, yeah, I could go on. And then I'd say maybe a culmination of things for me at least is weariness. Like I just get tired. You know, I get like worn down. And sometimes that's physical weariness for me. But oftentimes it's like emotional weariness and like mental weariness, you know, spiritual weariness probably. And then I find myself in a place where I'm kind of numbed out, you know, because I've. So that's an amazing way to start a message. It's like, but maybe I hope you've never felt those things. But my guess is maybe you have. You know, my guess is maybe you've also, as you think about your calling, right? We got a lot of callings in this room. We got a lot of people in a lot of different phases of life in this room. You know, and more people that are listening. We're in different phases. We have different callings. We're in different ages, different like family life situations, et cetera, different history. So I really encourage you to put yourself in that place. Do you see yourself going through those same challenges as you walk out your calling? And even if you're walking out your micro calling, because you're still trying to figure out what your macro calling is. Like I'm talking about day jobs and school life and stuff, right? As we prepare, right? All right. So I have found that when I'm in those situations, I talked earlier, gosh, this is probably a year or two ago, where the Lord was unpacking this analogy of the check engine light to me. You guys know what a check engine light is? All right, good. I'm glad my daughter said yes. Right. So if you don't know, it's a gauge on your car, right? And if it goes on, it means something's wrong. And I feel like if we're paying attention in our life, there's a grace check engine light. And in my life, it goes off. I know it's on, rather. I know that the check engine light is on when I'm like crabby or bitter or when I'm short or with people, right? I know when I get frustrated easily at stuff I shouldn't get frustrated. Like, there's probably 100 things in my life. You guys probably have like 6 or 8 each, but like I got a lot in my life of things that can set this check engine light, and I know it. And you all, if we're paying attention, that's a good indicator. If you're paying attention, the Holy Spirit is telling you something is not right. There is a misfire. Your oil is low. Your pressure needs to be filled back up. Your tank is empty. Like, whatever it is, right? And so for me, walking out the calling, when I'm feeling those things that I mentioned before, it's most often because there's something going on. There's something amiss that I need to pay attention to. And in the goodness of the Lord, then I can get reset, right? And I find myself when I'm paying attention, and I realize I'm in that place that, okay, I need to encourage myself. I need to get encouragement from other people, and I need to encourage myself. And so here's some areas recently that I've been thinking about. And actually, some of this we talked about, Amber, it'll be a refresher for you in River Life School of Ministry. We talked about, Byron shared a class one night about finishing well. And so some of this is from that. And it's a really good reminder. It struck me as a reminder for myself as I'm walking out, not finishing, but continuing. I got a long time till I finish. I need help continuing. I need help, like, 1 foot in front of the other help. Okay, let's go to Galatians. So that's what I'm going to focus on today. Does that sound okay? All right. Now, this is the part where you decide if you're going to take a nap or if you're going to pay attention. Galatians, let's go there. I'm going to be in Galatians 6, if you're following along in your digital Bible or in your hard copy Bible. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but I'm sure your version is really great. Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. This is talking about a harvest. Paul is talking about people specifically doing good to others, teaching the word, being careful about the words that come out of their mouth, paying attention to the work that they're doing. It's really talking about micro callings. Like, there's some more specific things, but more broadly, he's talking in Galatians 6 about being the things that we do. And to me, it jumps out here, don't get tired. Like, well, that's easy. That's easy to say. It's harder to do. But it's a good encouragement. And again, the check engine light, if we're tired, pay attention, because it probably means you need some rest so that you can re-up, right? So that you don't give up. But don't let the tiredness spin you out to quitting, right? It probably actually means that you need some rest and some other support, right? But I think it's interesting here how it's tied to giving up, because tiredness can lead to burnout. Tiredness can lead to us just going through the motions. Tiredness can lead to us ultimately saying no to what we said yes to the Lord about. And so I think it's a really good, like, check engine light moment to say, okay, pay attention if you're getting tired so that it doesn't lead to giving up. Because at the end of this thing, we will reap a harvest. Paul talks about it here. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more, but we are going to reap what we sow. So the things that we're doing today are going to have a fruit, a benefit to some things maybe tomorrow or maybe 10 years from now or maybe 40 years from now if we don't give up, right? So I think for me, this is, again, easier said than done, but this is a good focal point for me, is pay attention to your tiredness. If you're feeling tired, get rest. Find a way to rest, even if it's in the moment, so that you don't give up. Does that make sense? Okay, that's a pretty straightforward one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. So one book back in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a good one. We'll see a little bit more about giving up here. And how do we not give up? I talked about if you're tired, pay attention. But here's another place that Paul gives us another clue or another tool to help us not give up. So we're just going to read chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. So how do we never give up? We never give up because of his mercy. That's really good, but think about that. Most of the times in the Bible, when it's talking about mercy, it's talking about like forgiveness. Like we deserve judgment, but we get God's mercy, right? You guys good with me? This is not talking about judgment. This is talking about mercy, like just everyday mercy, right? Interesting to me, every translation that I looked up actually used the word mercy here. So it doesn't say don't give up because take the Lord's strength. It doesn't say don't give up because we have God's grace. It doesn't say don't give up because we have God's wisdom. It says don't give up because we have God's mercy. Mercy. Mercy not because it's saving us from death. This is not a saving us from death. This is a mercy because it actually fills us up today. Mercy to help one afflicted or seeking aid, to have compassion by divine grace. All right, let's jump back to walking out our everyday calling, walking every day. Who needs mercy? Right? Because who else can feel afflicted? Who else feels afflicted sometime when we're trying to do the things that God called us to do? Who else feels like they need aid, that they need help when they're trying to do the things that God called them to do? Whether that's, you know, your work, whether that's children. Yeah, I'm thinking, right? Like, I raised 3 kids. Phew, they're allegedly all adults, but like there's times I needed help. Right? We need to just help. Like, mercy, Lord. Mercy. Not necessarily in this context for forgiveness from sin or to help, you know, in lieu of judgment, but because we need help, because we're afflicted sometimes in the things that we're putting our hand to, because we need aid. So listen, I think, to be honest, I could spend the rest of today talking about we need mercy. I think we could stay on this all day. But I'm telling you, if you're in a place where you feel like you want to give up, there's multiple keys. Are you tired? How do you rest? Run to rest. Are you feeling afflicted or that you need help? Run to mercy. Y'all, that is so good because it's a key. Now, I can't give you that key today. What I can give you today is the thought. Well, maybe it's the key, but you got to go use the key. You got to put that key in the Holy Spirit and activate that key. Like, because the rest that you need, the mercy that you need, I am not going to give you. I cannot. You got to get that from the Lord. But if this is triggering something in you, then it's an invitation for you to go after it. Okay, but more specifically in Corinthians 4:1, he's talking about mercy, but he's talking about mercy. His mercy has given us this new way. We never give up. So not only is it his mercy, but it's the mercy of the new way that he's giving us. It's his mercy in just giving us this new way so that we don't give up. So far, so good. What's the new way? It is the Holy Spirit. And if we jump back to 2 Corinthians 3, I'll get to some of the verses in just a minute. But what it's doing is the new way, and some of your translations might have said the new covenant. Okay? So in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul has been comparing the old covenant to the new covenant. and his mercy that he gave us the, in his mercy, he gave us the new covenant, right? In his mercy, he gave us the new way. What does the old covenant speak to? The old covenant speaks to the law. The old covenant speaks to what else? We can't achieve it. The old way was put in place to show us that we couldn't do it on our own, right? Well, what's doing it on our own? I have in my notes striving. The old way is tied to striving. The old way is tied to law. I think the old way is tied to like rote rituals. People, I mean, unfortunately, the early church actually fell back into some old ways. You know, you've heard like in medieval times, like priests that would like flog themselves, you know, to bear the cross that Christ bore, especially if they had done something wrong. That's not the new way. Jesus did that for us. So even though they had the new way, they were actually falling back into old way practices. Do you hear what I'm saying? If the old way is the law, striving, rote rituals, okay, how are you doing in walking out your calling? Are you walking out your calling through the lens of an old way or through the lens of a new way? Are you walking out your calling through the lens of, I got to do better, I got to be better, I got to work harder, I got to strive, this thing is on me. If I don't succeed, then this thing fails. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I got to figure this out on my own. This like starts and ends with me. I got to work harder at this. Like all of those things. That's old way stuff. And I've been there in walking out my calling. I've been there at trying to do it in my own strength and trying to do it in my own energy and feeling like it was all on me. Success, failure, it's on me. That's old way, right? You hear me? That is old way. The new way is what? It's grace. It's freedom. It is direct connection with the Father. Like, totally, it's not on us. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. What? That's like counter to how I've been trying to do stuff. Because my stuff feels hard when I'm doing it in my own, when I'm doing it in the old covenant. You know what I'm saying? Man, why do we put ourselves back under the old covenant? Lord, help us. The other thing that I love, though, in 2 Corinthians 3:7, so if we go to 3:7, Moses. Moses did not write Corinthians. Paul was talking about Moses. And in this, Paul was talking about the glory of the old covenant. Wow, that's interesting. The old covenant, he said, started out with glory. Think about it. It started out when God gave Moses the law, he was lit up in the presence of God with the glory of God to the point that he had to wear a veil over his face. Like the glory manifested in a significant way. And what Paul is saying here is that old covenant, which was brought in by glory, how much more is the glory of God on the new covenant? And I'm applying this, y'all, to how we walk out our everyday life. How we walk out our callings, the thing that God has us, the new way, which Paul just says here, don't give up, because in his mercy, he's given us the new covenant. That new covenant is full of glory. That means that we have the glory accessible to us as we walk out our everyday calling. I'm fired up about this because I'm sick and tired of being like dog tired and trying hard and then getting discouraged and fearing and all that stuff I went through beforehand. Like I go through cycles of that in my life, daggum. And like I'm excited about like grabbing a hold of this, right? So let's read 2 Corinthians 3:9-10. I just picked some of these out. Oh no, just kidding. 12-18. So the new glory or the new way is full of glory. And in 12-18, we're going to see a little bit more of that. So since this new way gives us so much confidence, well, it says such confidence, but I like so much confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. Jump with me to 16. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. Who said Holy Spirit earlier? The Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Who said freedom earlier? So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Isn't that amazing? Okay, but that apply that to our day. That is amazing. Like, big picture amazing. Like, I went to Dublin recently and we were in these castles and, like, that's the stuff they would paint pictures about. Like those beautiful pictures. They would paint about the glory of God. Okay, that's great. But I want the glory of God in my everyday life and not just in, like, you know, a big moment. And in this, we see that the veil is removed and there is this Spirit available to us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I think that's a really big, we're not tied, we're not bound, we're not held into this thing by our, we actually have freedom, which means we have freedom to make mistakes. We have freedom to not get it right sometimes. Now, I'm not saying we should try to get it wrong. Like Paul said that, like this isn't like a free pass to go sin, right? But it's the fact that like we're gonna mess up and it's okay because it's under the new way. And we reflect the glory of the Lord in what we do all the time. I love that. And okay, this is interesting. Not only do we reflect the glory, verse 18, but then it says, we are changed and he's made more and more like him as we're changed into his glory. There's a difference between reflecting something and being something. So we're going from this like reflection of the Lord and what we do every day, if I can apply it to our callings, to being the Lord in what we do every day in our callings. Does that make sense? I think it's important. I've been reading this devotional. I've mentioned it a couple times. It's a really great devotional. One of the things that the author is talking about is be careful when we say, I'm gonna make some people mad. Be careful when we say less of me and more of you. Right? John the Baptist prayed that. John the Baptist said, I have to be less so he can be more. But what John the Baptist was doing, keep in mind, he was old covenant. John the Baptist was an old covenant prophet. Does that make sense? And he indeed was saying that his ministry had to become less so that the ministry of Jesus to bring in the new covenant would be more, right? But we are created in the likeness of Christ. Paul says here, we go from reflecting the glory of God to being changed into the glory of God. Now, it's a little bit of semantics. In that way, I'm becoming more of him. Does that make sense? But it's still me. Like, because if it's not me, if it's not God working in me, then take me out of the equation. God doesn't want to take you out of the equation. The calling that he has on our lives, he has called us to do the work and to reveal his glory inside of us as we do the work. Not that we would be so subdued into nothingness that we hope God could do something in our like diminished people, right? No. He created us as masterpieces to go do the work that he created for us to do. And he wants us to be fully us and fully him. To not only reflect the glory, but to be the glory. That is encouraging to me as I walk out my day to day, because sometimes my day to day doesn't feel too glorious. I got a day job. Like I work for a software company, and I talk to customers who are not nice to me sometimes. And we have like budgets to meet, and we have like people to hire and people to fire, and like it's work. And if I took myself out of that and said, like, that's not my calling, Lord, then what am I missing out on 40 to 50 hours of my week? I'm missing out on this opportunity that the Lord's put me in this place so I can be his glory. You know? And so I'm just like applying this to I'm just saying, I know some of you have like ministries that you're a part of. I know some of you do like ministry on the side. I know some of you feel called to ministry. Like, that's awesome. And God has also this stuff applicable to that. But he also has this stuff applicable, like Joshua, as you're waiting or as you're doing the things that you have today. I'm digressing. So through the lens of our old rituals, okay, here, listen. This is what I was thinking about when I was preparing for this message. I actually wrote in my message, my God, if I think about the mercy that he's given me in this new covenant to reveal his glory into this world, my God, do I even know who my father is? If I'm not believing that, do I know who my father is? Like, do I know who I am in my father? Do I know who Jesus is? Do I really know, like, what Jesus did? And the Holy Spirit that he sent that would be even better than him. And how the Holy Spirit is not only with us, but in us. Do I know that? Have I really grabbed a hold of the fullness of that? Do I know that I've been called? Do I know that God created me to do the works? Do I know though? Do you know those things? Do you realize those things? Do you know that the person who calls you is also the person that equips you? Do you know that in your life, in your day to day, God has people in your life that you are going to set free? People in your life that you're going to be a friend to or say something to that's going to unlock something in them that's going to say, who is this Jesus? God's got plans, like physical stuff for us to do, for you to do. Like, he gave people wisdom on how to build the temple. He'll give you wisdom on how to crack the code at work, on how to like do that really, really well done, well crafted work that touches somebody, that somebody says, wow, that was amazing work. And all of a sudden you'll find yourself in a position where you have favor. Favor with God, but favor with people. Favor with people because they see the quality of your work and they're like, how do you do that? Like, I know a guy who called me to reveal his glory in this world. And when he called me, he equipped me. And he's working it out in my life to help me to do the things that he actually created me to do. And when I can partner with that, I can harness that glory. Instead of just walking around, oh my gosh, y'all, I'm preaching to myself. Like, instead of walking around being like, I got to go to work today. I got 10 meetings today. Praise God, it's not 11. You know? I got that HVAC system I got to go check on. And last time I went there, daggone, those people were not great. I'm not really looking forward to going back there. No, what if? We could say the stuff that I have to do, God created me to do. And he's equipped me to do it. And I can harness who he is. And in his glory, I can bring that glory into what I'm doing. Wow. Wouldn't that change what we do? I'm telling you guys, I haven't arrived. I'm like trying to encourage myself, like picking myself up by the bootstraps. Because I think that there's a lot of life in this. I think that there's a lot of life in this when we're feeling tired, when the check engine light is going off, that we can like grab a hold of his mercy, grab a hold of his new covenant, grab a hold of the new glory, the full glory that's with us every day, and say, Lord, I'm walking in this, and I'm walking in it with you. And this is available for me to bring into that world. Is that good? Yeah. I think it changes how we walk in our everyday callings. And I know y'all know this stuff. I know we know it, you know? And I know we know, like, Romans 8, like, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, but I don't know if in my life, at least, I don't harness that. I don't operate from that place all the time. Sometimes I operate from just my old way of doing it myself, figuring it out my own, striving through it, working hard through it, instead of tapping into this thing. I watched this really bizarre show the other day, and I probably don't recommend it, but what it had was this idea of, like, this unlimited power source. And actually, there's some news going on right now where SpaceX and NASA are working on this fuel cell. It'll be like, in essence, I haven't done a lot of research on it, so totally fact check me. But it's basically the concept of unlimited power, unlimited energy, like recurring energy. Of course, not available to consumers, just for SpaceX and NASA. Right? Just kidding. Okay. But this concept of, man, if I could plug in to the source of power that's actually unlimited and full of glory to go do the things that I need to do every day. Okay, Philippians. Let's go to Philippians real quick. I might get out of here in a minute. Let's do Philippians 3, chapter 3. That sounds like a good chapter. Verses 12 through 14. I'll get there with you in a minute. 12 through 14. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things. Good God, I know that's true in my life. Or that I've already reached perfection. Also me. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. That is an everyday press. And I think that there's an everyday prize and also a long-term prize. We might not see the prize every day, but that's what I'm talking about, using this glory, this new way, this mercy that the Lord has given us to step into our and press on. And press on every day and keep our eyes on the long term. How many of you have ever done like an event, like a race? How many of you have done like a competition? How many of you have wrestled? Okay, I got everybody's hands up now. No. Like, sometimes in life, we gotta think about what we're preparing for. Otherwise, we'll quit doing the work. You hear what I'm saying? Like, maybe you've been in school and you've been studying for an exam, or you're trying to get a degree or a certification. If you don't keep your eyes on that goal, I would quit. I would be like, what's the purpose of this dumb prerequisite class that has nothing to do with that, you know, with that certificate? Somebody told me I had to take it. Well, I'd quit. I'd be like, okay, then I'm done. I can't quit my kids, so that would be a bad example. But I would have quit jobs in the past if I had not been thinking about things that job provided me, like provision or a promotion I was working towards, or maybe I wanted to get to a different department, right? If I wasn't thinking about those things, I was in the restaurant industry. If I wasn't thinking about my tip, sometimes when I was taking care of certain tables, I probably would have not served them. Like, I'm out. You guys are terrible. I would have quit. I would have quit school. I would have quit my job. I would have quit work. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. But keeping our eyes on the prize, on the goal, on the end goal, again, probably something we could talk about for a whole message. And the Galatians 6 I read earlier about reaping the harvest. The work that we put in today is going to bear fruit. It'll bear fruit. You know, and in his mercy, with his glory, it's going to bear good fruit. I'm not even worried about I'm not preaching a message about bearing bad fruit because I'm not about that. I'm about us producing good fruit. Let's get on board and produce good fruit, right? Okay, so who needs to be encouraged? Here's the things I'm encouraging you about today. Don't get tired and give up. If you're tired, I have an invitation for you to not quit. Who needs to receive his mercy, like in the day job, in the day to day? Receive his mercy because sometimes we feel afflicted and sometimes we feel like we just need help. And maybe sometimes we need forgiveness in the day. Who needs to be walk out of the reality of this confidence that we have in the glory of Jesus in us? That's the one I'm grabbing to today. Just walking in that glory. And then who needs to keep, what's the prize you're pushing towards?
Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. To get more information, check out riverlifefellowship.com.